Good morning. Good morning. Beautiful, beautiful day out there. We're going to have a great show for you today, as we usually do. We're joined by Lenny Miller Jr. from Rehoboth. Good morning, Lenny. Thanks for making it over.
Hello, my friend, and good morning, South Coast Now.
How are things in Rehoboth, Lenny?
Doing very well. Yeah, we came off the town meeting last week, and we're adjusting. We're looking into our the grants that we originally were, you know, approved for but didn't get paid. We're looking into the process of how we get those back up on the front burner and get moving on that. But, yeah, we're doing real well, Rehoboth. Things are looking good.
Lenny, I had the mayor in yesterday, John Mitchell, mayor of New Bedford, and I asked him about this new state law that people can stay open till 3 a.m. Now, he appoints the licensing board, but in my experience is that John Mitchell, not only is the mayor, he's really in charge, okay, of the city of New Bedford. It's not a ceremonial position for the mayor. He's a detail guy. And so when he says, we're not going to do it, yeah, I know the licensing board will have to take it up in a vote, but trust me when I say that that's not what's going to, they're not going to do bars and restaurants open till 3 a.m. in the city of New Bedford. Look, I agree with the mayor. Wouldn't matter if I didn't, right? You've met the mayor. Wouldn't matter if I disagreed with him. He's made up his mind. But some of the reasons, and I do agree with him on this, I don't think there's a lot of money to be made in that extended hours. I think there is a degree of public safety concern, but there are a lot of Ubers and Lyfts now, so people don't have to drink and drive and home just to get their car home. They don't have to take their car there. But I don't know if that is so much all the way through the culture the way I'd like it to be. Anyway, and as the mayor said, is there any real connection between these soccer games and the city of New Bedford? You're on the licensing. You are the licensing board, the selectman, right?
Yes.
What are you folks? Have you talked about it yet? What are your thoughts on extending till 3 a.m. closing time?
Yeah, we haven't had any requests, so hence we haven't had any talk about it.
Okay.
But, I mean, we have some entertainment licenses in Rehoboth that I've asked, you know, as in the past, to be open till 2 a.m.
Okay.
If we've granted that, you know? And so if it's beneficial for the people, the community, that's what we're there for, and it makes sense.
Right.
It's not a stress on the police and things like that. But maybe in New Bedford, maybe the mayor has some points in the sense that it's far enough away from Boston. It's not going to bring enough money in.
Mm-hmm.
The staff it's going to take care of it, because there's always some type of grief going on, right? At 2, 3. My mother used to tell me nothing goes on good after 12 o'clock at night.
That's
so,
right.
You know, and I'm not, you know, I don't know the details of what New Bedford's against and the mayor, but I can envision those things.
Right.
But, you know, who knows? I know, like I say in Rehoboth, people say, why would you extend it to 2? Because, listen, we're, you know, the town makes money, too.
Right.
With the services and the taxes on it and stuff. And it's a service to the community. And it works well in our town. We don't have a lot of, issues at those hours.
Right.
We just don't.
Right.
I mean, we may going forward, but we haven't yet. So we'll cross the bridge when we come to it, not before.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good point. And, as you say, if the establishments ask, you'll think about it.
Absolutely.
But nobody's even asked.
Nobody's asked for that at this point. Like I say, I mean, I know the last few years they've asked for 2 a.m. and we've granted them without hesitation at all, you know.
And no problems.
And no problem. We haven't had any problems, you know. You have a different, an apple and an orange.
Totally.
With a town of 13,000 and a community like New Bedford.
Right.
So I'm sensitive to that. But, you know, of course, you know, the entertainment people that don't have the entertainment licenses, they're looking to make more money and stuff. So it's a balance the mayor has to make, and ultimately the board decides, like we do on a local level, you know. It's nice to be king, if I can say that, nice to be mayor, but it's also nice to be king and a selectman, because you're calling those shots, you
right.
know. And you can really have a positive effect on your community with it, you know, those decisions.
508-996-05. Open phones, guys, if it's on your mind. You got a question you want to ask Lenny? He can answer questions on just about anything.
Yeah, don't say everything, though.
Just about everything.
I don't want to be known as a know-it-all.
You're not a know-it-all, but you're a very experienced guy. You've seen a lot of problems, seen a lot of solutions, business questions, anything, life questions. Lenny can answer them all.
Right. Maybe. I'll try to. If I don't know, I'll honestly say I don't know.
508-996-0500. But the phones are open. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's happening?
Good morning, sir.
Well, I'm concerned about the governor's race in the Republican Party. As you know, I'm going to vote for Brian Shortsleeve. All right. Mike Minogue has the advantage of money, but he doesn't seem to deal with any issues in his campaign commercials. There's a lady that comes on and talks about how his medical device saves her mother, and
yes.
he's around patting backs and smiling at people. But, you know, anybody who's going to go up against Maura Healey, and I'll take anybody but Healey, okay, is going to have to be able to talk and explain what their positions are. I've noticed that Brian Shortsleeve has done that, and I think he's battle-tested by showing that. But I don't know. Mr. Minogue may be a great businessman, but I haven't seen him really show any chutzpah as far as being able to talk about the issues. What say you, gentlemen?
Money?
Yeah, so, I mean, we've stated, you and I, Chris, yeah. both, and your caller makes an excellent point that Brian Shortsleeve is an excellent candidate.
Yes.
We've never debated that whatsoever. And so the caller, I'm glad he's calling and making that point. And so that's what election's about, you
right.
know.
Right.
You know, I like to use the word exercise. We're exercising them, right,
caller? Yeah.
They're out there doing their thing. And you make a good observation. And I've noticed that quietly. I've noticed, you know, what you're pointing out,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they each have two different approaches to it. And so, yeah, I think people are going to have to decide. I mean, I'd like to see more meat in the, like the old commercial, remember, where's the beef?
Where's the beef,
I mean, I get what you're saying, right? Am I helping you out there, caller?
Is that making sense? Yes, you certainly are.
Yeah, I mean, where's the beef? I mean, let's hear it. Let's get it on. I mean, we're in June.
Right.
And I pride myself as being a patient guy, but I'm a businessman, too. I'm going to get stuff done. I mean, we're in June, and we have, what, 3-4 months, 120 days?
Yeah.
And we're still not getting it on. So.
Well, yeah. He may be one of these people that, you know, I'm not a politician, but now you're running, you are a politician. And maybe he's a great businessman, and certainly he's got, you know, billions of dollars, and he's supporting his own campaign. But like you say, and we hit the nail on the head, where's the beef, you know? And you're going to need beef when you go up against Maura Healey if she challenges you to a debate and you say, no, I don't want to debate you. You know,
I also think it's been a miscalculation to think that a Marine Corps officer, Brian Shortsleeve, was going to drop out, that he could be ignored out of the race. That is obvious that's not going to happen.
Well, maybe he's not a politician, but that's, again, it's healthy for the Republican Party to have...
Totally.
The two guys to, you know, state where they stand. And then I just hope that because of his money, Mr. Minogue wins, and then he's got no fight in him, you know, and Maura's back again.
Well, and thanks for the call. I'm not worried about a lack of fight within Mike Minogue. He's certainly got the most resources, but he's got more than the incumbent Democrat governor. I'm not worried about that. look, the guy got into the thing, gave up a lot to get into this. And a lot of future opportunities are going to be given away as well, because when you're the governor, you can't do much else. But he recognizes that. So I don't think he didn't go into this thing to lose. He's a first-time candidate. So is Brian Shortsleeve. They could both use a couple of practice rounds. Lenny's run for office a number of times, been reelected, but he's also trained fighters. Everybody needs practice rounds, right?
Yeah, you have to be out there mixing it up. And a lot of things happen with that. I mean, it's not only people get to hear your ideas and your approach and how you're going to approach ideas. There's a lot behind it. It also enlightens you as the official running. You start to see things from a different angle. You start to see it locally, like in the western part of the state, the, you know, out here on South Coast part of the state. You start to hear, because the needs are different, right?
Yes.
Chris, we know that. People have different needs and how they approach problems and how they like to solve them. So, yeah, I mean, it seems to me to be a bit stale. I think your caller makes an excellent point. I feel it's a bit stale. Yeah, I do.
Mike Minogue has clearly pivoted. I haven't heard the radio ads here yet. I'm looking forward to that. We could certainly use it, but I could use longer breaks, really. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I've seen the television ads where he shifted to a general election strategy where he's got Democrats saying they're voting for him in the ads. He's still got the Republican primary. Now, maybe, and we've seen polling that shows that he's got a big lead, but I've seen that same polling has also showed about 40% of the population likely to vote in the Republican primary still haven't made their minds up. So is he shifting too soon? I don't know. He's surrounded by experts, the best money can buy. But I also saw that with Kennedy. Kennedy, when he ran against Markey, had all kinds of people, a lot of them from out of state, who'd never really run here in Mass. And they lost with a tremendous advantage, but they lost to Ed Markey. So I don't know. And again, I think that it's better to draw more people into the primary for the Republican Party than it is to make them wait till November to decide they want to vote Republican. Get them early into the primary, which is in September, because you don't have a lot of time after that.
Yeah, and I think people are feeling a general feeling of being left out because
yes.
We haven't had debates.
Right.
Right, we haven't had debates, and we haven't had a lot of, beef, what's going on. We can use that metaphor today. So people really want to know what's going on. You know, they want change, but they want to know what they're going to get for the change. People
right.
don't want change for the sake of change, though, they want change in the Commonwealth, but what are we going to get for it? You know, where are we going with it? What can we get behind? What can make us really rally and get out there and get our neighbors to come out and vote? Because we're going to need that big push,
right?
You know, when the general election does happen. So I know that a guy like Mike Minogue and I am supporting him have the best people representing
yes.
him. I understand that. I also know. Being in business, that I hire the best.
Yes.
And one thing I do is I get on the street with the people. I go to Cumberland Farms. I go to the ball games.
Right.
I go to all the neighborhood stuff because you get the real truth with
yes.
the people. So the experts can tell you a certain way,
mm-hmm.
right? And they can give you all that information and everything. But until you're pressing the flesh with the people, until you're of the people, from the people, with the people,
yep.
that's a big underestimation if you're trying to run a business, run for election. It's not a good thing to do. I don't think. I think you got to be with the people.
I know from being around a lot of experience, Tom Hodgson is an example. Tom Hodgson never lost his contact, even to this day, with the regular people, average people out there on the street. When I'm with Senator Montigny, same way. They know everybody. They're talking to everybody. They hear things directly themselves.
Right.
The other part that's concerning to me. One of the nominee from whoever it's going to be, Brian or Mike for the Republican Party, are both first-time candidates. And they are surrounded by people they are paying to support them, okay? And people who anticipate, perhaps, that they'll get a job in state government with the new governor, whoever that may be. Maura Healey is a seasoned politician, attorney general, governor running for re-election, and she's all over the country campaigning all the time, sits down with the media all the time. She's seasoned. These two gentlemen have never really debated. Brian a little bit now. Mike has never. And what they're relying on is people around them to do debate practice with them. But the guy who you're paying to do debate practice with you, or who's volunteering because he's your friend to help you out, is never going to hit you below the belt the way the Democrats are going to do it. So unless, or your Republican opponent will do it. So unless you get those kind of practice rounds, you're never really going to be ready. And the first time you're going to see a real fight will be when you get up against Maura Healey, and that concerns me. Lenny.
Yeah, no, that's a good analogy, Chris. You know, it's like a fighter. Like, think about, like, Mike Tyson or George Foreman, right? How do you get sparring partners to train against, if you're going to fight Mike Tyson right. or fight George Foreman in their day, how do you get sparring partners that are going to be equivalent to that? You know, you just can't. You can't prepare for that. Right. You know, so some things you can't do. But in this case, you know, going out there and debating and having, you know, some general conversation, irregardless of what the experts are telling you, still brings a lot to the table.
Right.
The respectability it brings to the table.
Yes.
And experience, it gives you more experience. Because you remember, the governor, Governor Healey, has been in, like you say, a long time.
Yeah.
And she has an empire. She
yes.
has an empire of people that she's hired, she's appointed.
Right.
And it's they're all out there, and they're all armed to defend. And I mean this in a positive way,
their right.
analogy. They're all armed to get her reelected.
Yes.
You know? So how are we going to get, how is Mike and Brian are going to get people really motivated mm-hmm. to go out in a general election to do
right.
it? You might get all the way to the, get nominated as a Republican nominee, but not have a motivated enough people to come out and vote for
right.
you by going by what the expert is saying and taking, let's say, the safe road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's say, I mean, I stop in, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
I stop in a lot of places in Rehoboth, mm-hmm. the Legion, local places, stuff like that. And I go in there and everyone says, how you doing, Lenny? I says, that's why I stop here, to find out how I'm doing.
Right.
Because I'm going to get told the truth there.
Right, right.
Someone's going to tell me the truth, like, in those cases, you know. But other people that work for the town and stuff, they're going to tell me for the most part because they work for me. Everybody
yes.
works for the selectmen. So they're going to be more apt not to want to tell me. I get that. I'm in business. You
right.
work for me. You're not really going to tell me the truth. Though I will say it's an exception to the rule is the concrete business. I can tell you my concrete guys ain't afraid to say anything to you. But they're a horse of different colors.
Right.
Like that. But other companies, yeah, you just don't get it, you know?
Right.
So until you do that, I mean, I think you might win the battles, but you may not win the war, because you really need to motivate a lot of people in the Commonwealth to win this election as a Republican. You really have to.
Yes. 508-996-0500. Mac Auto Sales, family-owned business in the city of New Bedford. Bring your automobile. They're right on Rivet Street. You know right where they are. They repair all makes and models of automobiles at Mack Auto Sales. Get your car over there for this coming really hot weather. Your car, you might love it, but your car does not. But if you get it ready for the hot weather, it'll be no problem. That way you don't have to replace your automobile. Have you seen the price of automobiles these days? They're outrageous. Keep it in good working order. You don't have to replace it. Make an appointment today at Mack Auto Sales, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. They specialize in servicing farm-made automobiles. They do a beautiful job with American-made as well. They take care of the entire fleet between WBSM and Fun 107. Mention WBSM. They'll give you a nice break on the repair bill. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and the quality used cars for sale at Mack Auto Sales. Stick around. We got a very short break. More with Lenny Mills Jr. and you at 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. We're joined by Lenny Mills Jr. here, of course, in the studio. There's all kinds of stuff going on, but we got people on hold. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Chris. How are you? Hey,
good.
Lenny,
what's
how
happening?
Are you?
How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, hanging in there. You know, the Democrats are giving you a soy burger and trying to convince you it's beef. And I wouldn't worry too much about Maura Healey because, I mean, we're talking about the fight in Minogue and Short Sleeve. Two guys that were, when they're both officers, and Minogue was a West Point grad.
Yes.
You know, the woman has a guy on her staff that sold, was a drug dealer.
Allegedly.
Out of Springfield. He was selling dope to UMass Amherst. She's sold out to the energy companies. She's the legal alien candidate. So I don't know what the big deal is about having a debate. Debate what? Yeah, just expose all the lies. She's a weasel. She's a liar, and that's all you got to do is expose her. But I want to bring this ICE enforcement $70 billion
okay.
for enforcement, especially here in our state of Massachusetts, New Bedford, Fall River. We need to clean, especially New Bedford, clean all these illegal aliens. Last time there was a census, there was 25,000 illegal aliens, and then Elena Hughes at the Immigrant Assistance Center says she's got 14,000 registered in her database.
Yep.
But we're worried about, you know, Mayor Mitchell about drinking after 3 a.m. I wonder if he's on board, too, to clean out all these illegals out of here. Because, Lenny, I want your take on this, because it's affecting your business. You're trying to hire Americans a living wage, and you're being undercut by these other guys. They're hiring illegal aliens, no benefits, and they're trying to put you out of business.
Well, it is a serious concern in businesses like construction, especially residential. It's a concern. You make an excellent point, because it's a serious concern in landscaping businesses, things yep. like this, you know. So it is hard to hire people that are legal, have the legal right to work in this country, when your competitors are not doing that. They're
right.
cheating in every way, shape, or form. So it is a very difficult, challenging thing, you know. So you have to continue to go by the law, and you mm-hmm. have to try to market yourself and offer the client something far superior than just price.
Right.
You know, you have to...
Right.
Let me just
say something,
yes,
Lenny.
Go ahead. Yep.
You know, Lenny, just let me just say this. Guys like you and not many others that are doing honest day's work and they're doing the best they can, again, punished. If I was Mike Minogue, I'd say, if you vote for Maura Healey, she's going to punish you for following the law and hiring Americans. And she's all about illegal aliens and give them all the freebies and punishing those owners of business and enterprise that are following the rules and hiring Americans. That's what I would do. Yeah, just keep hammering her on that, because she's not for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, unfortunately, it's his race to win,
yeah.
you know, and or to lose. And so we all have our opinions on it, and I don't disagree with you whatsoever, because I have to compete in that market.
Right.
Bring it back to what you were saying. I have to compete in that market and still get up every day and make a profit and be responsible for my company. But, you know, I was never a person that underestimated my opponent in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
I thought it was a mistake to do that, even when I knew my opponent was weak,
mm-hmm.
even when I obviously knew my opponent's weaknesses, things like that. I think it's a mistake to do that, to underestimate them. I think that we believe in a certain way, and we think everybody thinks that way, and they don't think that
way. They do not.
You know, there's a lot of voters out there that don't think the way we think.
Correct.
I mean,
if
you look at, like, the election in Maine, what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and the people supporting the that person that's running out there with the Nazi tattoo and
right.
stuff, it is amazing that the people are supporting him, you know.
Right.
And so you say to yourself, it's not hard to believe when you cross over the state line into the Commonwealth that people are supporting what's going on in this state.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so to underestimate that and think that we see it clearly and we're going to follow the straight and narrow way to proceed to vote and expect everyone else to, I think, is a big mistake
yes.
in an election. I know it's a big, big mistake in business to do that, because when my competitors negative sell against me, when they're cheating and all those things,
right.
to assume my clients and are going to know that and they're weighing that up when they make a decision whether to hire me or company A, B, or C,
mm-hmm.
it's never factual.
Right.
So I understand his point, and I agree in a lot of ways. I'm a guy that will never underestimate the opponent, ever, ever.
It is such an accurate statement, and everybody needs to be reminded of this, that not everybody agrees with you, right?
Mm.
I mean, ask people what color they want you to paint your own house, right? You'll never get a solid answer that you can live with. Everybody has their own opinion, and that's the beauty of our system. But when that's also what makes it so difficult to put together a winning coalition, because people are so different on so many issues. And look, most people, if you only said to them, hey, should we allow illegal aliens to come in and access the social welfare programs of the Commonwealth, most people that they've never contributed to, most people would say no. But if you say, would you like to let people in from third world countries, where if they stay there, they'll die, their children will die, they'll get malnutrition, they've all so few opportunities, would you allow them to move to Massachusetts where they're going to work and help our economy. If you put it that way, most people would say yes.
Right.
Right?
You know, it's like when you hire a law firm, an attorney.
Okay.
And you have an attorney, right? So it's important how you ask the question and who's asking the question, right? It's because it can be tailored to the answer or the desired direction you want to go.
Right.
You know, you want to lead. So you make a good point on that, Chris, you know? So I once sat with a public speaking with the General Schwarzkopf.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was asked the question, when you command a military unit tomorrow to war, do you think of them just as a unit that's going to war to achieve a goal that you've set? Or do you think of them as individuals, as somebody's father, somebody's brother, somebody's daughter, somebody's mother?
Right.
Do you think of them? Which way do you think of them? And he said, I wouldn't be a good general if I thought of them just one or the other exclusively.
Okay.
I think of the whole thing.
Okay.
So I think the point you make about people in other countries that mm-hmm. are suffering, that actually dying and
yeah.
they need relief, I think you have to think of that. And you have to think of they have to come in here legally, and we have to make the bar realistic for them to do it. And
right.
we have to realize we need workers to do these
yes.
things. And we have to think of the whole thing.
Right.
Like Schwarzkopf said, you can't think of it as just one or the other. And so that's difficult to do, because a lot of times politicians and leaderships get lost with the majority. And though you represent the people, you have to do what is right.
Yes.
You have to do the right thing.
Yes.
You know, and that's a hard thing for politicians to do. I'm here to tell you that it's a hard thing to do. At every crossroad,
yes.
you have to think about that. And so maybe I'm not a good politician. Maybe I am. I don't particularly like being called a politician. I think of myself as a businessman trying to help out in the political realm.
Yep.
But that being said, it's leadership has to think of those things. You can't think of it just as their units of people you want to rescue,
right.
and then you have a problem on the other side. It's
right.
a balance you have to think. And I thought he made a good point, and that stuck with me a lot of years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I try to use that in my decision-making in business and politics, everything. Try to think of the whole picture together and what we're trying to achieve.
Speaking with Lenny Mills Jr., you can speak with him, too, at 508-996-0500. Lenny, I was talking about this cigar policy up there in Ipswich. Turns out these young athletes were about to play their last lacrosse game of the year. They were not allowed to play because there's a photograph of them with what appears to be cigars, but now we know it was not tobacco related. So tobacco use, alcohol use is banned, obviously, for student athletes. And we try to enforce that. It's not good for kids to be drinking alcohol, though we probably all did it. Not good to be using tobacco, though we probably all did it. And you try to discourage it. But these young men had their pictures taken with fake cigars in their mouths. And they were forbidden from playing in the last lacrosse game. Their principal met with one of the parents, at least. He reasoned with them, and he said, the kids are all right. They don't have to be suspended from the game for using tobacco. I realized it wasn't tobacco, although it looked like it, and we're not going to do that to them. Then the superintendent bigfooted his principal, his underling, in a leadership role, and suspended them all. Couple of things in there. First of all, Lenny, you're a dad. You're also a student athlete. Your thoughts on this and the leadership displayed by the superintendent by overriding his lieutenant, so to speak, his principal.
Sure, yeah. So I was thinking, good thing I didn't bring you back a Cuban cigar from the Cayman Islands, you know. But here's what I'm thinking, right?
Okay.
I don't think leadership, the superintendent, should. I don't do this in leadership, so okay. I don't think they should do it. They can do what they want, but I think it's a bad move mm-hmm. when you criticize. You give people the power to make a decision, and
yep.
then you criticize or reverse their decision.
Right.
I mean, I have people all day long as I'm sitting here making decisions. At the end of the day, I review them. I'll sit down with them. Maybe I'll say, next time we'll do it a little differently.
Okay.
This is the reason why. And sometimes they make the defense of why they did it, and then I agree with it. You
okay.
know? But here's a solution. How about this? How about the superintendent says, that we made a mistake here, and I particularly made one. Let's reschedule the game.
Right.
Let's have the games. It's the end of the year. Yeah. Just get the two schools back together and replay the game and move on forward. And healing can happen and move forward. But that, you know, a lot of times, like you were saying early in the first hour when I was coming in, I heard you say, egos get in the way and the thing gets out of control. But that's what I would do. Yep. I would honestly make a sincere apology. I made a mistake. A couple of them, I shouldn't have overrode them. I shouldn't have canceled. But what we're going to do is contact the school. I would have already contacted, rescheduled the game, put it back together. And I would have showed up at that game and took the heat or whatever the people want to hand to me, take my medicine, and try to heal the community. The last game of the year for seniors, I mean, bad call.
Bad call,
bad
right?
Bad call, yeah. Bad call.
508.
Fix it. No, fix it.
And you can fix it.
Fix it, yeah. Fix it. Yep, move on. Fix it.
They, and again, look, like I've said here repeatedly, tobacco use obviously is not good, certainly not for kids. But this seems like really draconian, particularly when these made the defense there wasn't even tobacco. The anti-tobacco people, they came around. I remember I was on the Board of Selectmen on Freetown in the 90s, and they are so sanctimonious. They are so much do as I tell you to do, right? They are little, in my opinion, this is me saying this, my experience with them, they're sanctimonious, and they demand that you do what they tell you.
Right.
They are not the kind of people I want to put in charge.
But the facts are it wasn't tobacco.
Right.
Right, Chris? I mean, I'm hearing on your show it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. So let's fix it. Let's move on. Why do you want to perpetuate a mistake?
Because
this is why people get disenchanted with leadership.
Right.
Especially you have young people watching this.
Exactly.
And they're being held back by that, and they don't like it. What a celebration for them to know that you can make a mistake as an adult. You're going to correct it, move on. What a lesson to teach young people.
Yes.
What an opportunity. You're on the cutting edge out there. Try to correct it.
508-996-0500. Kind of open phones, guys. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Big day tomorrow. Knowledge is power for Bristol County seniors. Please join us at the Bristol County Celebration of Seniors at Whites of Westport on Friday, June 12th from 9 a.m. till noon. I'll be broadcasting live. Please come by and say hello. Seniors are invited to enjoy a free breakfast and a resource fair with speakers, giveaways, and really important information. It's always a great time. This special free event is presented by District Attorney Tom Quinn, Bristol County District Attorney Tom Quinn, and Coastline Elderly Services. A special thank you to our platinum sponsors, Anodyne and Eternal Health, the gold sponsors, AARP of Massachusetts, Bristol Elder Services, Mechanics Cooperative Bank, Senior Medicare Patrol, and United Healthcare Community Plan. For questions or to RSVP, please call Brian Rose at the District Attorney's Office at 508-961-1972. Again, this will be Tom Quinn's last event like this because he's not running for re-election. So everybody should be there. All you seniors should be there. You can RSVP to Brian Rose at the DA's office at 508-961-1972. 1972. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Chris. This is Rick Trapillo calling in to say thank you to you and your station, sir.
Hey, Rick, congratulations on being elected to the select board here in Fairhaven. Nice victory. Nice margin.
Yeah, congratulations, Rick.
Thank you so much. It was a victory for the people of this town. We had that serious issue for the override.
Yeah.
And I was the candidate who did oppose putting the override on the taxpayers, and that measure passed, and as well as my election. So, as you know, Chris, now the real work starts. I hope to be a voice for the people on the select board to look at the upcoming deficit that the town's looking at of about $3.2 million right now. So I always hope to have the ability to call you, Chris, and you're always a voice of reason, always a voice to look for the people that, voices aren't heard. So I can only say thank you so much for what you do for our community of Fairhaven.
Rick, I appreciate it. And now the real work begins, as Lenny knows, as I know. Lenny's doing it now. You're about to go into doing it. Have you been sworn in yet, Rick Trapello?
I am going in this afternoon. The vote was just ratified. We just called the clerk's office, and she, who had did a wonderful job with the election. Chris, we had over 3,000 voters come out on Election Day.
Excellent.
It was phenomenal. We had 20%+ voter turnout, which I take my hat off to the candidates that I ran against. We were all thrilled that people came out to vote. And our clerk did an outstanding job of maintaining the polls. Everything was orderly. People out in front of the polls who were having fun because the weather was so perfect this year. So I'm going to be going in before noon to be sworn in, Chris.
Excellent. What is the, first of all, with the 2.5 override being turned down by the voters, once again, there's going to be constriction of revenue. I know it's early in the process, Rick, but what do you see on the horizon that can help the town with you being in there, things that are really tangibly different? What are you looking to do?
First and foremost, Chris, I did see a note come out yesterday from the Tourism Bureau that because of the override, that entity would be terminated, and there was a notice. I don't know whether it came from our awesome town administrator, Mr. Hickey, but it was really like canceling events. And I'm hoping that's premature, because I'd like to work with the select board and Mr. Hickey to find revenue that has come in to fund that short term, but also to look at, we have an awesome economic development bureau, to see where the volunteers can step up. So I want to immediately look at, okay, what is the impact of the override? Let's not try to terminate that particular department. Let's find some revenue that is existing, maybe in free cash, maybe in monies that are not being spent this year, to keep that economic activity going for our Tourism Bureau, because we've got some nice things coming up this summer that we should maintain for the town.
Rick, I do appreciate it. Listen, I appreciate you stepping forward. You could have done a lot of other things. You've had a very successful business career. You got a lot of really, you got a great family. You got lots of hobbies. But you decided to put a lot of that on hold to be a selectman here in the town of Fairhaven. You're going to be, in a year from now, you're going to say, where did all that time go? Because it's a tremendous amount of time. But I have no doubt about it. You can handle it, Rick. And we all appreciate you stepping forward for 3 years and running for this job. Really, from the bottom of my heart, I mean that.
I know you do, Chris. And I know I'm always welcome to bring up current topics for our town. I think Fairhaven is no different than, as you're dealing with, Lenny, so many of the municipalities across the Commonwealth are faced with budget shortages, looking for increased Chapter 78. Lenny, one of the things I'm going to bring to the board on Monday's meeting is a petition that we signed from both the select board side and the school committee side directly to our governor saying we need more money. We receive a nominal amount back from the Commonwealth into the local community. So I want to work with all of our municipalities across the South Coast and in Massachusetts to say, Governor, you need to return our taxpayers' dollars to Fairhaven and all the municipalities to help our schools and all of the departments within our town of Fairhaven and across the South Coast.
Yeah, great idea. And maybe some of us, the other communities, can join in and we can have a,
Exactly, Lenny. I want to have our select board endorse the idea, and then I want to reach out from every community in Bristol County, Suffolk, everywhere in the state, because this is an election year. And somehow politicians listen to the voters more so in an election year than not. So we have strength in numbers. And if we can get the select boards independently and the school boards to reach out to the governor with a petition, that'll be powerful. We have a great Senator Montigny in our area, and I know he would support that. He's a real gentleman. So I look to take the voice of the people up to Beacon Hill to get money that we need in our communities, because nobody wants cut, Chris. But we just can't. The paradigm is nobody can afford more taxes.
Right. Right.
So we have to go to where the taxes are, and that is up in Boston. We have to get those monies down here to Fairhaven and across the Commonwealth.
Rick Trapillo, I know you won't be a stranger. By the way, he never shows up empty-handed. He always comes in. He brings muffins. And he's just a great guy. I do appreciate it, Rick. Don't be a stranger, my friend. Reach out anytime.
Hey, Rick.
God bless you.
I'll leave you with one thought. I tell a lot of people when they get on the select board and other boards and the ones we appoint, when you're on a board and you want a friend, get a dog.
Sound advice. Thank you so much.
Good luck and Godspeed, sir.
Thank you. Thanks. That's Rick Trapillo, newly elected member of the select board here in Fairhaven. He's got a lot of work ahead of him, and I know he's ready for it. In New England, framing has to stand up to the elements, and that's exactly what Shoreline Framing Incorporated is built for. Dave Silvera and his team bring more than 20 years of residential and commercial wood framing experience to every job. From custom homes to large commercial projects, Shoreline Framing delivers strong, precise craftsmanship designed for coastal New England conditions. Reliable crews, quality work, and framing built to last. For advanced residential and commercial wood framing, trust Shoreline Framing. Contact Dave Silvera and Shoreline Framing Incorporated in Dartmouth to discuss your next project. Let me give you Dave's phone number, 508-962-0977. Let me repeat that, 508-962-0977. Shoreline Framing Incorporated and Dave Silvera. That's where you call them at, 508-962-0977. We'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care. South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We got Lenny Millis Jr. here with us. We had just heard from Rick Trapillo. Again, congratulations, Rick. It's funny, Lenny. You've been a selectman now for how long?
4 years.
4 years. Before that, you were on the planning board. You're running together. You're on the planning board as well now.
Yeah, they're not concurrent terms.
Okay.
They're for alternate years. Yeah. But yeah, but planning board, I don't know. I have a 5-year term. They elected me on the town, but maybe a few years before that. So I've probably been on the planning board 5.5 years or so.
I'm with you a lot, and I know how much you put into the town of Rehoboth. I remember what I put into the town of Freetown. I remember talking with Aaron Burke when he got off the board of selectmen in Lakeville. And I said to him, you're going to look back on it, you know, and be glad you did it. But then you're going to say, I can't believe how much more free time I have now. And that what will occur to you, wow, I can't believe how much time I donated. I enjoyed it, but I donated to my town in lieu of other things, opportunity costs I could have done.
Yeah, you feel that because... you know, I'm a family guy, so I'm all about family, you know, and so Christine and I, we're blessed with, you know, between the two of us, we have 6 children, there's grandchildren. My dad's going to be 91 in a week and a half. He's still around. I have my sisters I'm close with. So, yeah, you miss out on certain things like that, but you go out of your way to make up for it, you know.
Yeah.
But in the final analysis, what really motivates me is I want to help my town. I love my town.
Right.
And I worked in my town, even though I've only been around the 5.5 years in planning board and selectman 4 years. I've worked in that town. I was a developer in that town. My business is in that town. I've lived in the town 64 years.
Yep.
So I've been trenched in the community and involved in the stuff, touching all these boards through my entire career. So I felt I wanted to give back because I've been on both sides of the table metaphorically, you know. So I think that I'm making a contribution. I think I'm trying to do the best I can. I try when I make a mistake to correct it.
Yes.
And the people in Rehoboth are gracious to me. They're honest to me. They celebrate me when they think that I've done something of value. Mm-hmm. And they're not afraid to point out something when they don't think.
Right.
And I appreciate that.
Yes.
Because I appreciate the honesty. You know
right.
what I'm trying to say?
You don't
say?
Want people talking about you behind your back.
Yeah, and I want to really hear it because, you know, so often we think we know, right? Yeah. We know, and we're going to do it this way. And then you learn that you don't know.
Right.
You know, so it's important for me to hear that all the time, because self-evaluation to me is a big thing.
Yes.
So I don't question myself in the sense that I'm unsure and I'm afraid to make a move. That's far from the truth if anyone knows me. However,
right.
I am a self-reflective person
mm-hmm.
that always wants to improve myself, especially to my community, because
right.
I value them very, very much.
Yeah, I really wish Rick the best. I think he's going to, he is a winner. He will work really hard at this. His reputation is very important, as it is to most of us. Andy's got some really strong colleagues on there as well, in good personal relationships with people who are getting off the board now. And, of course, Pam Kishla, who runs PACE and was on the school committee for years, she also got elected. She actually was the top vote-getter, just a little bit ahead of Rick, in a three-person race for two seats. So we wish Pam Kishla again. She's an experienced person as well from the nonprofit business world and also from the school committee. So I'm really happy with the results, and I hope that Miles Grant, who finished just out of the running, stays around, stays involved, and I'm sure he will. We've got a lot of people getting involved and staying involved in the town of Fairhaven. And as you do in Rehoboth, it's really hard to get people to get involved. And I think most people are glad when they decide to, right?
Yeah, they're glad because they're giving back to their community. They're participating. They're addressing issues that their constituents
right.
feel are important. So, yeah, they do. They feel that they are making a great contribution.
508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris and Lenny.
Good morning.
Hey, I'd like to wish Rick Trapillo all the best and congratulate him on his win. That was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And thank the people of Fairhaven for making wise choice in getting out and voting. But still, again, I think you said the turnout was 26%. Did I hear that correctly?
I'm not sure what the percentage was, but look, it's never a presidential election, not even a state election. And it's sad because those are the votes that count the most, the town votes.
Yeah, 26. I mean, it's good, but it should be better. It should be 46, 56. You know, and that's, we have to keep working on that, Chris. And, you know, you're in power of the airways. And Lenny, I don't know how the voting turnout is in your town, but people have got to take some action.